From the studios of NPR West, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
I'm Alex Chadwick. Israel turns 60 today. President Bush is there to help celebrate at the beginning of a five-day Mideast visit, and today he thanked President Shimon Peres and Prime Minister Ehud Olmert for welcoming him.
We're proud to reaffirm the friendship of our peoples, and we're delighted to join you in celebrating the 60th anniversary of the State of Israel. Our two nations both faced great challenges when they were founded, and our two nations have both relied on the same principles to help us succeed.
In 1948, Israel was founded as a refuge for Jews worldwide. Ironically, it's a place now that may be safe for Judaism, but not necessarily for Jews. That's what Jeffrey Goldberg writes in a cover article in the Atlantic Monthly, and he's here now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Well, what do Israelis think about their future, and are they hopeful or not?
It's a very interesting question because, on the one hand, Israelis are confident about their near future. On the other hand, there are real existential fears about, let's call it the semi-distant future, 10, 20 years out. But the broader fear is that the region, the Arab-Muslim world, is simply allergic to the idea of Jewish national equality, of a Jewish state in the Middle East, and that eventually what happens to allergens is that they get expelled. And after the collapse of the peace process in the year 2000, Israelis started to think for probably the first time in a long time, what if this just doesn't work? What if we're always going to be under siege and not accepted by the region?
Now that is obviously a physical threat from the outside, but you say there are also threats to Israel from within.
Yes.
What are
those
threats?
The main threat is the threat of demography. In a certain number of years, there will be, if current conditions prevail, there will be more Arabs under Israeli control than there will be Jews. And the fear, of course, on the part of Israelis is that, many Israelis at least, is that they don't want to be a minority ruling over a majority.
Now, in your article, you interview two important men in Israel. In fact, your article revolves around both of them. One is the Prime Minister, Ehud Olmert. The other, an Israeli novelist named David Grossman. How do these two men symbolize the differences among Israelis, and how do they symbolize the possible future of Israel?
They are rhetorically not that far apart. This is the fascinating thing about Israel right now, is the political paralysis. You have a majority of Israelis who agree with their prime minister that the continued settlement and occupation of most of the West Bank is a recipe for disaster. But you have a prime minister who is weak and, as you know, under investigation right now for corruption, and who can't seem to get out of the West Bank. And David Grossman, you have a novelist who is the leader of the left who has noticed that the prime minister, unlike past prime ministers, is talking his language, but he's upset with the prime minister because the rhetoric is not matched with deeds. And here's where it becomes very interesting and very sad. David Grossman's son was in the army and was killed 2 years ago in the Lebanon War, a war that was ordered by Ehud Olmert, the prime minister. So there is a personal connection here and a personal tragedy. And what they symbolize, I think, is the majority of Israelis who want to get out of the West Bank but don't know how.
We have a clip of tape from David Grossman speaking to NPR's Neil Conan on Talk of the Nation. This was several months, I believe, before his son Uri died.
Most of the Palestinians understand, as the majority of Israelis do, that we have to settle, we have to compromise with each other, Israel and the Palestinians, that our futures are interwoven with each other and that the solution will not be by force.
Now, Jeffrey Goldberg, is that a sentiment that Olmert, the prime minister, shares?
I don't know that Olmert would agree that most Palestinians feel this. I think Olmert would say that many Palestinians do, and Olmert would say further that it's our job in Israel to buttress these Palestinian moderates, to help them gain credibility, political credibility in their own community. But the problem is, from Grossman's perspective, is that Olmert won't take actions that would buttress them. He's just issuing words.
And Finally, is it the opinion of most leaders in Israel, and in fact most Israelis, that the only way that they will be able to survive for the next 60 years is if there is a two-state solution, if there is an independent Palestinian state alongside an independent Israeli state?
I think there is an almost inchoate understanding that the situation now, the status quo, is untenable, and that since you can't give the Arabs of the West Bank, the occupied West Bank, citizenship, because that would mean the end of a Jewish state, and you can't expel them from the West Bank because that would be immoral, the only thing you could do is give them their own country. There are many Israelis who doubt whether the Palestinians will say, upon receiving independence, well, thank you very much, and we're looking forward to being good neighbors from now until eternity. But I think more and more Israelis are growing used to the idea that the alternative to a Palestinian state is even worse than having a Palestinian state. And that alternative would be eventual dissolution of Israel as a Jewish democracy.
Jeffrey Goldberg, thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's Jeffrey Goldberg. He's a national correspondent for The Atlantic Monthly. His cover story, it's titled Unforgiven, appears in the May issue.